Please,
please do that.
Dunder.
Most definitely.
Dunder, 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 dunder,
dunder, dunder,
dunder, dunder, dunder,
dunder. All right, man, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? All right, man, we back for another episode of the What's Good Bro podcast, man. We got the crew in the building.
Yes, sir.
We got Dre be chilling over here.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
And we got Sonny in the building.
What's good, y'all?
And we got Coach K right here holding it down. Shout out to our other brothers that's in real life just holding it down themselves, man. Tweezy Chain and Jay. We got a really good conversation today.
It's going to be interesting.
Really interesting. And it's, I don't want to say it's hypothetical, but it's really no wrong answer, I'll say it like that. So should we say the question now?
I guess we could. Yeah, we can say it now.
All right. So the question we're going to talk about a little bit later is what impacted the black community the worst? Slavery, Jim Crow, or the crack pandemic?
Yep, and we'll each make an argument for which one we chose. So we each pick something different. So it should be an interesting episode.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Very interesting.
All right, but before we get into that fun conversation that we're going to have, you know, we got to check in with each other and see what's going on the local tip and in the culture, man. So what's been up with you, man?
Oh, man. It's been, I guess the whole summer for me has been very, I don't know how to say it, but I've just been deep diving into, you know, the things that make me, I guess. But, you know, I think my grandmother's death kind of, it propelled me to, like, look into my childhood and, like, why my personality is the way it is. So, it's been an interesting summer.
I respect that.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that can help you to grow, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that was the purpose. I didn't think I was going to grow as fast as I did looking into it, but it's still a pandemic, so I really don't be out like that. So a lot of time to just deep dive into yourself.
Yeah, I like that. Sonny, what's good with you, man?
Basically been chilling. We're still in this pandemic, dodging Rona. You know, trying to still work on side projects, still progressing in the career. So we're just trying to keep it pushing. So nothing too much changing from the last episode, but we're still working. We're still trying to progress and, you know, just got some stuff on the way. Good stuff on the way.
Hey, Coach, what's going on with you?
Coach, the season's back up and going now. We had a preseason last week. I got a whole new team.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to need a schedule.
Man. It's
y'all still doing threes or y'all running fours?
We're running fives now. Okay. So we'll be indoors, 5-on-5. It should be a good season.
Playing Saturdays? Saturday mornings.
So I'll definitely get y'all the schedule so everybody can come out and support. Group of new guys, man. So it's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, it should be fun.
I don't know if we're going to get a championship, but we're going to play to get that. But it's definitely going to be some good mentorship happening. So
good.
That's what we're there for. Right. And fantasy football is starting up. See, this
literally as we speak.
And I haven't done the league in like probably a couple of years. So it's good to get back in that. And you know, I won this league like 2 times when I did before. Yeah, so I got low skills, but it's been a minute, so I gotta actually start watching football and everything.
If you're not watching football, low-key a GM.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I like it. It's gonna be fun. And other than that, man, just working, staying grounded, and just doing what I can for real. Definitely looking forward to our conversation today, and always excited to be here and doing this for real. So.
Yeah, I guess staying with football, the Ravens, once again, undefeated in the preseason.
Yeah.
Even though that means absolutely nothing, it just means we got good backups.
Yep.
which does mean something. That means our depth is, you know, we're solid as far as our depth chart. I think, who's the kid, Huntley?
Yeah.
He did his thing. I'm like, yo, he has to be QB number two.
Yeah.
He got to be.
He definitely shining.
Yeah, he's... I haven't been watching any of the preseason games because, like I said, I don't really think it's that important. It's important for the future of the team, but for the upcoming season, I don't think the preseason is a reflection of what this team will do.
Well,
but,
well, look, I just think that injuries are bound to happen. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about this, like the guys who are going to be the backups, they play an important role because if Lamar goes down, who do you want to step in there? I think Huntley kind of solidified himself. Like, I think he already had a lead over McSorley. I think that was the other guy, just because his style is similar to Lamar. So it's not like the offensive coordinator has to do a lot of adjusting with Huntley as opposed to McSorley. So
it's a different offense when McSorley comes in versus Huntley.
Yeah. So you got, mobile quarterback versus pocket quarterback, so that's also a challenge. But
this draft is killing me. Draft. It's gonna be over real soon.
Yeah, it's all good. But that's local. Anything else local we got going on? I can't really think of nothing.
No, it's not really too much going on locally. You know, they did the Airframe
Festival. Virtual. Yeah, that doesn't count.
We just want to keep past that. See you next year.
What do you think about like the FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine?
I don't think it's going to influence anybody that hasn't got the vaccine to get the vaccine.
Yeah, it can. So, like when you talk about employers,
it's going to require. It might move employers to require people to get the vaccine.
So the thing is, because of that mandate. It gives a wider range of employers the muscle to say, hey, either you're going to lose the job and have to look for other employment, or you'll need to get this vaccine, because it went from certain state, national government and enterprises being like, you have to take this test twice a week, a minimum once a week, to we can make this mandatory now. So forget the testing. Yeah. You have to get vaccinated. Yeah, so
that's definitely interesting to see how employers and schools.
And that was triggered off of that. Hey, look, even if you don't trust the other vaccines that Pfizer's FDA approved, now you have no excuse. We can push it past this barrier now.
And then the weird thing, like it had emergency approval. It just now it has like the full approval because the vaccine came out so quick. It usually takes a little bit longer for the research to happen before it gets full approval. But I guess you're right in the sense that no one who wasn't voluntarily getting refusing to get the vaccine is going to voluntarily choose to get it now that it has full FDA approval. But employers will now be able to say, hey,
got to.
They treat it almost like it's like a chicken pox. Like where it's like, yeah, you have to get this shot if you want to be in this public building.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing that kind of changed, especially like when you talk about federal contractors, military officials, and that yes, it's going to be mandatory at least by at some point. It should be mandatory at some point.
Well, I think people need to realize that COVID ain't going nowhere. Like, there's already rumors that it's probably going to like evolve again this year or like next year. So we're going to treat it like the flu, where there's going to be a flu shot and a COVID shot every year. It just changes because the flu adapts every year. The flu evolves every year, so it's always a different strain of the flu. So many different strains of COVID every year. So,
but I don't think they should make it mandatory. I mean, you don't make the flu shot mandatory.
Flu shot. Well, it's at one point the flu shot probably was mandatory, but then as less people are able to carry it, it doesn't evolve as much. So with us only being a year or 2 years into it, it's going to be mandatory for probably the next couple of years until there's less carriers of it, so it doesn't evolve as quickly and it's not as deadly.
I got my shots on. I ain't planning on going anymore.
Yeah, it's like I cooperated the first time I got my vaccine. Now y'all talking about a booster. I'm sorry.
Good. I don't need no booster.
Yeah, man. I think the era that we live in, we dramatize stuff so much. And I had a conversation with one of my homeboys. Every generation has gone through some bullshit, like some absolute bullshit. Mm-hmm. If we weren't in a world war, we had to deal with something.
Yeah, it was something. The world don't stop turning. We just choose to deal with shit and deal with it.
That's real.
And I think this is our generation's chaos. Like, this is our set of stuff. You can count 9/11.
Oh, there we go. Good transition, because, you know, this is one chaos, but then we also just finished a 20-year war. Even though Nika's acted like 8 years ago it was over when Barry got elected.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we just pulled out of Afghanistan after 20 years. I don't think we ever found any weapons of mass destruction, so we can stop believing that lie as to why we went to war.
My thing that's so crazy about that is, like, the way that stuff went down in Afghanistan, like, how are the soldiers this bad in Afghanistan? Because we were there for 20 years training soldiers so that they could defend themselves against the Taliban, and then they just, like, turned tail.
Well, the thing is, we trained the Taliban, too. We trained the Taliban, and them motherfuckers, they just don't believe in the rules of war. So they're like, oh, we can do whatever we want to do when we want to do it. And I guess the Afghan military was like, oh, this isn't in the rule book, so we don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think... somebody broke it down, like, a lot of the Afghan military, like, they are former farmers. Like, they are just not with the smoke.
Right.
They're just, you know, they're merchants, farmers.
They're not soldiers.
They're not soldiers. Much, yeah. Whereas the Taliban, like, they ready to die.
Where it's just like in, like, 300, where it's like, oh, we got 300 soldiers, but then when he went to the other group, the other army, he's like, so what are you? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a potter. And the other guy's like, yeah, I'm a farmer. Like, yeah, so y'all in the army, but y'all not soldiers. So when it comes down to get to it, y'all not with it.
Yeah, and then it's like the Afghan military could outnumber the Taliban, but it's like for, and I hate to say this, it's like for 20 Afghan soldiers, you have like five. It's like five real soldiers that could probably take on that 20. Mm-hmm.
The whole Taliban, the actual soldiers, like, they will, all of them will kill you. The Afghan military, they probably won't. Like, they will if they absolutely have to. The Taliban will do it just because.
They will take themselves out just to take you out. And that's they're willing to go 10 times further than the Afghan military.
They are dedicated to whatever their purpose is.
I also thought it was a bad look. Like, do you remember that that image of a bunch of, like, Afghan men chasing down that plane? Yeah. And you saw no women. You saw no children. I'm like, you're not going to try to protect your family? It's just about you, huh?
Well, the thing is, apparently the Taliban just going to kill all the men. They're going to use the women as bodies to repopulate the country. So the men is not trying to die, and it's like, you can, you know, get raped a little bit, and you.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Like, the man is like, I'm gonna die. You just gonna be a handmaid.
You'll be all right. I'll be back.
You'll be fine.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's very sick.
It's awkward, but you know, also this was really weird. Is, I guess it's a good thing, but also a bad thing. Like, Airbnb is like donating. Like, they're paying for like 20,000 refugees to live in America.
Oh, wow.
But we got hella homeless people. It's like, y'all couldn't do that while we had these homeless folks?
At least they're doing something.
It's a tricky world. Yeah. That's going to be a nice tax write-off.
To me, that's doing something for the wrong reason. You're doing it because it's going to make headlines.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice tax write-off.
Well, we're gonna pray for Afghanistan and the fallen soldiers and the bombers as well.
Yeah. Last thing I want to talk about before we go into the main subject, I guess. What do you think about the OnlyFans pullback?
I know you don't read our notes, but I had that on the notes. So yeah, if y'all not aware, OnlyFans at beginning of the month, they said that they going to ban all adult content. Started October 1st, and before the month ended, they reneged real quick. They was like,
the community was hot. They was like, yo, I need somewhere to sell my nudes.
They said, hold up. I think they realized how much money they would lose if, like, the adult content community, like, left OnlyFans, and they just was like, oh, we can't afford this.
They wanted to switch their imagery.
OnlyFans wanted to become Patreon, but I don't think they realized that nobody was about to do, like, exclusive non-adult content on OnlyFans. It's just going to be straight porn. Like, that's all it's going to be.
It sounded good, but then who else? Like, what else would they do on OnlyFans?
So yeah, I was thinking that they lean too much into certain sponsors that they wanted, because there's certain sponsors that just cannot sponsor a platform like OnlyFans or Pornhub.
They can't
or
be associated with stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, and those are the sponsors that I'm assuming they wanted, so they were just like, oh, we're gonna step away from that, and it's like, no, like the risk isn't worth. Like, this is. You've already achieved so much profit from this. Just stick with this.
Yeah, like, hey, I know this might not be what y'all you want your image of your company to be, but fuck it, that's what it is. Like, it is what it is. Because without the adult content, what would OnlyFans be?
Yeah,
and would we even know about it?
And they're probably bringing in ridiculous amount of money because they get a cut, they get a percentage of what they sell on that site. So it's like they're getting their piece. It's been a good relationship with the I guess you can say entertainers.
Yeah, the sex workers.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I'm not paying for nobody's OnlyFans, but clearly someone is. I ain't mad at the women that are getting money off of the men that decide to subscribe to
their
monthly content.
Yeah, that's a come up.
Yeah.
I do wanna talk about the coonery on social media
the Crate Olympics, the Hood Olympics,
the Crate Olympics. Yo, where did this come from? Yo, this,
how you feel, dog?
Yo, this crate challenge is the most.
You sounded so irritated.
I am very much so. Yo, I'm tired of just these followers. Yo, like, you just hurting yourself for what? Yo, only ones I kind of respect. It, like, people did it for like $1,000. I might take the challenge. Nah. You know what I'm saying? But come on, are you doing this?
I would only take the $1,000 if I didn't see someone else fail. Like, if I've never seen it before, then it's like, yeah, I give you $1,000 if you make it from this side to the other side, and I've never seen it before.
Yeah,
maybe. But after I've seen two people fall, I would never even.
Hey, yo, this shit is just crazy.
Even when the people make it, they have to basically
run.
Yo. So the success rate is low as hell.
Yo, it was kind of entertaining, you know.
It was entertaining the first 24 hours that I seen it, but then it's like, oh, y'all still doing this? Like, what type of nigga tree is this?
It really kept going.
Like, it was OD after a while.
And then I saw like TikTok banned the crate challenge, so like, I don't know how you really do that, but
China is banned or something.
They see too many people get hurt, yo. Too many people got hurt. They was at a hospital. I saw a picture of the dude with the little ice pack on his back.
Oh yeah, that was internal bleeding.
Dumb as hell. But
I still want to know where y'all getting these crates from.
Real talk.
I ain't never seen so many milk crates in my life.
Y'all get these from,
like,
yo.
Did y'all just all as a community just be like, yo, we gotta get all the milk crates that we can get,
right?
And we gonna kill this and we gonna go viral.
Yeah, they went viral.
Yeah, they went viral, but viral. All attention is not good attention. So,
well, no, you can't say that in this generation. They won't believe you.
That don't mean I can't say it.
Good point. Yeah, man, they'd be like, what are you talking about? It's currency. Attention, man. Currency. This generation, forget money. I want followers.
Exactly. It's wild.
Very wild.
It's a sick world, man. It's like nobody wants to get rich on the low. They'd rather be regular, look rich in public, and get the admiration than nobody know that they're rich and then actually be rich.
It's what's crazy is we are the generation where hard work was at one point romanticized. Like, everyone was like, yeah, you gotta work hard. Now it's just like, it's like they use the word hustle, but hustle doesn't mean, like, to us, hustle meant like grind and work hard. But for them, hustle means, oh, this is gonna be easy, get rich quick. That's what hustle means to them. So
I feel like we're the middle child. Like, I feel like if you were born in the 90s at a certain point, or you were born like 1990 or 1989, like, you're just like the middle kid. Like, you have the older generation that worked hard to a fault. Like, you're working hard, but you're not working smart. Then you have the younger generation that just wants to find a scam.
Yeah, we're in the middle where the generation before us was like, if you work hard, they had the belief that if you work hard, no matter what, you're going to get what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not necessarily always
true. Yeah, you can work hard in the wrong direction.
Like, they wanted to retire by like 65.
Right, exactly. You know, and now we got the generation after us is like, they want to retire by 35, and they feel like you don't have to work hard at all.
It's almost a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
Facts.
Like, I'm like, dog, like, you can do both. You can work hard and you can work smart. It's just...
And that's what the real successful people do. They work hard and then they work smart. It's right. Like, you work hard to a point where you don't have to work as hard anymore. Eventually, you start working smarter versus working harder. Then, like, you have to work hard in the beginning, but mm-hmm. then, like, working smart and working hard, like, you gradually interchange that, where once you get to a certain point, you're just working smart. But now the generation after us, they're like, oh, I can just work smart and never work hard.
Nah.
But you got, at some point, you have to work hard. And then that can,
for the flirt.
Yeah. And then that changes into working smart.
And then here's the thing. And here's the bad part. Because people can go viral, someone will get a large sum of money not working hard, but just getting lucky. Like, you had lightning in the bottle one time.
Yeah.
And then they're not seeing that this person who got famous is not sustaining it. Like, you got that money one time. That doesn't mean you beat the system. That means you got lucky.
Yep. That 15 seconds of fame, that's what everybody chasing, and they don't realize that
it's not sustainable.
Yeah. First of all, that 15 seconds is really only about two.
For one day.
Yeah, and you know what the crazy thing is? Like, the most successful, like, even content creators, they say you have to enjoy, you put in the work, you enjoy the creative process, mm-hmm. you're happy. You know what? You understand that at first you're going to have, you know, 5 views, 10 views on your stuff. And then you just put in the work, you put the craft in, and then it ends up balancing itself out of mm-hmm. this quality work. You got other content creators, they just want to do, like, okay, I'm going to do this challenge. Okay, I'm going to be viral for doing something stupid.
They just hopping on whatever the trends are versus actually being trendsetters.
I'm
going
to put Gorilla Glue in my hair. Like,
y'all continue to pray for that woman.
She didn't do that on purpose, though.
She was just...
They were followers.
She was moving too quick.
There were followers.
No. So, yeah, there were people that did it after her.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why, but, you know, everybody just... It's really where people see whatever that most popular hashtag is on the internet, and they immediately hop into it, no matter what it's like. This Crate Challenge, like,
yeah, Crate Challenge is a
people probably looked at like, oh, this is stupid, but then you see that one of these Crate Challenges got 1 million views in 24 hours, so you're like, oh, I'm about to do that.
Let me go get some crates and go to every store around that, so you got some crates I can have.
Yeah. For it's what?
Bye.
For what?
I don't know. I seen Boosie was doing the Crate Challenge in his front yard. I'm like, nigga, you are rich. What are you doing? Like, I understand poor people.
Boosie funny, though.
I understand poor people doing it because y'all ain't got nothing better to do, even though y'all had a whole pandemic to find something to do.
Hey,
Boosie
was like, hey, I'm back home. Yo, somebody pull up the crate. Pull out the crate.
Boosie is a special dude, man.
He is.
I remember he was like, no, man, please not my Instagram. Oh, man. Come on, man.
Hey, you know he was on the Breakfast Club too, you know, talking about his gay comments and everything like that.
Yeah. Did you watch the interview?
It was a good interview.
I didn't watch the interview.
It was funny because they actually had, I don't know the person's name, but they had
the trans comedian.
So she was on there too, and she was kind of siding with Boosie a little bit in ways, but it was a good conversation they had.
Yeah, and it's kind of like you got a lot of people in the LGBT community who look at her. I think it's like Flame something.
Yeah, Flame Monroe.
Flame Monroe. Yeah. Yeah, they kind of say like, oh yeah, you're a traitor, this, that, and the third. I'm like,
girl,
like. I think she's an older person, so mm-hmm. she's kind of probably has an old school mindset about it. Like, she's not 20 something years old. Like, she's like 50.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she probably
was like, I got bullied, so I don't have a problem with y'all getting bullied.
She said something like, she doesn't want her child to be gay because the shit that she mm-hmm. been through. It's like, she understands, you know, the reality it is mm-hmm. that to be gay, and then, you know, what comes with it. And then she's like, I don't want my child to do the same life I live.
Yeah. And all that showed me is that, like, just because you belong to a certain group doesn't mean that you all think the same. Like, group is a monolith. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They have different opinions in that community.
Yeah.
Like, You'll have gay gentlemen who are in politics and they're in, you know, professional, you know, roles. And then they think other gay people are doing the most. Like, hey, we don't have to do all that. Like, you know, we don't have to carry ourselves in that mm-hmm. mindset. And you wouldn't think that other gay people would feel that way, but there's that almost, I don't even want to label them as conservative, but they're more conservative yeah. than their more liberal counterparts. Mm-hmm. Like, no, like, I'm gay, but, you know, I'm still, I still wear all men's clothing and I still carry myself in this manner.
Skipping around town.
Exactly.
Literally skipping around town.
So I don't carry myself. And I'm not saying that's, look, like I said, just a side note. I'm not saying anything's right or wrong, but I'm just saying that's a view in that community.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Ooh, we done with the.
I do want to know how y'all feel about Shikari. That's a yeah, Shikari. Yeah. Like you said, you know, she's
going outside.
she's young.
Yeah, she's definitely young. So she was in a race that I don't know
if you want to call it a race. Well, she was in the race. A race happened, and she was one of the people that was lined up at the starting line.
Yo,
but. I'm sorry, in a 100 meter dash, if it's milliseconds that decide between first and second place.
True.
She had, it might have been almost a whole second between her and first place.
Man, she got blown. She blown out.
What's the girl's name? Elaine?
I don't know, but.
No, I'm going to find out. First of all, because she deserves a shout out.
You already know that. Any Jamaican that got four names, you're not beating them in a race. She has four. You're not beating her in a race.
Hey, yo.
And all of the, like, yo, first of all, we hyped her up mm-hmm. when she never raced anyone outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't, well, she got disqualified from the Olympics, so she didn't really get to face her real competition in professional track and field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she was surprised
yeah.
at how fast the motherfuckers really
are. It was a lot of hype. And, you know, she's been through a lot. And we don't know what her training process was like.
Yeah.
But she wasn't prepared.
Yeah, she just wasn't prepared, and they were already critical about how fast she got out of the gate.
Yeah.
Like how she needs to warm up and goes into her stuff. But I think the level of competition was so different, she got away with it.
Yeah.
And the Jamaicans are just different.
Just flat out.
They're different.
Flat out.
So the woman who didn't get as much media attention but actually won the race, her name is Elaine Thompson-Hara. So she has three names, not four.
But there's another one though that had like four names. If you look at the other people, it's like something yeah. Frazier, something.
It's like something Frazier. Yeah, but I'm gonna look. Yeah. So basically, she's two-time double Olympic gold medalist and a five-time Olympic gold medalist, and she's a national record holder in Jamaica, the fastest country
in the
world yeah. in the 100 meters.
Shout out to you,
girl. My only thing with Shikari, which is hard to say it because she's in an individual sport essentially, so you gotta have like a high level. Like a really high, a big ego to yeah. compete in something like that. But her disqualification should have been a nice slice of humble pie for her.
Yeah.
And she came back even more ego. Well, the thing is, when she got disqualified, everybody supported her. So she didn't really
feel like she was wrong.
Yeah, she didn't feel like she was wrong. So it kind of probably boosted her ego a little bit more than what it should have. But what she should have did was look at the motherfucking Olympic trials and see the motherfuckers is running faster than I ever ran before in my life.
Yeah, and
so
I would have liked it a lot more, and maybe this is just me, if she would have looked at it and I'm like, look, I just gotta improve, I gotta get better, I gotta get back focused. I went through a lot and they did an outstanding job. Sometimes you gotta take that road because the Jamaicans came out there to make a point. Even when they did the interviews, whenever they brought her up, they was like, no comment. I'm talking about the winners, like, no comment.
Right. They're like, yeah, we're not talking about her.
We're not talking about her.
Because they already realized that she's not in their league yet.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, like they've been there, done that. So, this is Shikari's first Olympics. It's probably one of her first professional track races mm-hmm. ever. So,
Yes. And she can get faster. That's the thing. It's not like she's so like into the game that like, oh, this is the fastest she'll ever get. Mm-hmm. If she hones her craft, she's going to get faster. So it's like, yeah,
she's got to, like they said, like she doesn't get off the blocks fast.
She doesn't. Yeah, it's a
the
warm-up.
Only other track person who didn't get off the block fast that could still make up was Usain. Like, mm-hmm. And he didn't get out the blocks fast because he's 6'4". It's impossible to get out the blocks fast when you're that tall. Like, your body's just too scrunched up in the blocks.
She's not tall enough to make... She's not long enough to make up for it.
Yeah. She's not long enough or strong enough to win a race like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Usain Bolt was embarrassing cats because they would be like, yeah, I got this. And then you just see this long stride come out of nowhere. And then he just pointed to the clock.
And even Usain, like, he didn't get out the blocks fast. Like, he was never the first person off the blocks, but... After about 3 or 4 steps, he's at full speed.
Yeah.
It took Sha'Carri half the race to get to full speed. And by then, you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible.
Against professionals who are naturally talented as they were. I don't know how people look at this. It's like silver, like bronze, silver, and gold went to Jamaica.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They swept the 100 meter.
Right. Like,
they did that.
What country, like, you know, that's what Kenya does every year.
Yeah, and like those long races.
Yeah, they kill it every year. But yeah, man, I think that's everything we got for...
For, yeah, talk a lot about this.
This current news.
The current culture, and, you know, Kanye West dropped today, so just going to get us some time, Marinette.
Yup.
Doctor, I will.